This is Stephen Jackson, co-host of the podcast All the Smoke, a production of The Black Effect and iHeartMedia in partnership with Showtime. Each week, my brother Matt Barnes and I, two NBA champions, sit down with the biggest names in sports and culture to have uncut and raw conversations. No BS questions, no BS answers. We get right to it with each and every guest. iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, and it's easy to see why. Listen to All the Smoke on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill.
Hey, what's up, it's your man Carlos Miller.
It's boy Chico Bean.
Hey, and we are up the 85 South Show.
Man, we got some of the best guests, bro. We had 2 Chainz, Jay Prince came.
Yep.
Everybody came. You got to catch up on all the episodes that you missed, like Fabo, Killer Mike.
Busta Rhymes? Yeah, he bust a couple rhymes.
iHeartRadio is number one for podcasts, but don't take our word for it. Find the 85 South Show on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Now every customer, both new and existing, get the same great deal on the best devices.
Usher, you're in so much trouble, Usher. I don't know if you've been following the escándalo that's going on in Usher's life, but Usher has been giving women herpes, people. The herpes hard to get rid of. It never goes away. It's like a stalker. The herpes never goes away. So what's going on with Usher? Women are suing him because they're saying that he gave them herpes knowingly. Like, he had herpes, he was having sex with them, saying he was clean. Side note, ladies, if a guy says that he's clean and you don't know him, especially if it's a celebrity, especially if it's a one-night stand, still use a condom, please. Just because somebody says that's the case doesn't mean that's the case. Hello? Usher, example, exhibit A. So Usher did allegedly have sex with women that he lied to and said that he didn't have any STDs. Allegedly, he has herpes. There's this one woman, though, and the scandal is with this one woman because this woman said that she had sex with Usher, and this woman is a BBW. Like, she is a big-boned woman. I don't think that's what BBW stands for, though. I always confuse what it means. I think it's, like, big, beautiful women. I think that's what it stands for. I have to say, I saw the press conference of this woman saying that she got herpes. She contracted herpes from Usher. She had her big-time lawyer, who's a lawyer that, I think her name is Lisa Bloom, or Laura Bloom. She tends to represent women that are fighting against celebrities and trying to sue celebrities. So she's there and she's saying that Usher gave her herpes after they had an encounter in a hotel in Jersey after a show in Atlantic City. What is the, besides him supposedly giving her herpes and her not using protection, was the escándalo. She's BBW. So when I saw the press conference, I have to admit, I was judgy-wudgy was a bear. I was such a judgy-wudgy. I was so bad because I saw her and I was like, Usher didn't give no herpes. Usher didn't have sex with her. I felt so bad. But, you know, a lot of people were kind of talking shit. And they were saying a lot of things negatively about this woman. And they were saying she was lying just because of the way she looked. And there's nothing wrong with someone being big. There's nothing wrong with someone being overweight. If they feel good, even though I'm assuming health-wise, you probably don't feel good. But if you feel confident being overweight and you're healthy, then yeah, there's men and there's women who find that attractive. But I judged and other people judged, and Usher was an asshole and was like, I would never. But guess what? Escándalo. She had a witness. A woman who worked at a hotel, the front desk, she actually spoke up and she said that she remembers checking in Usher into the same hotel room where she was staying, maybe like an hour, 15 minutes later. So, unless they cuddled, and he cuddled with the big W, the BBW's boobies, then he did bang that girl. He did have sex with that girl. And he did have that encounter. And we will see if it's true. She says that she does have herpes. I don't know how you sue for something like herpes when you, as a person that's having sex and you're an adult consenting, you choose not to wear a condom. That, to me, that's not the scandal, because people are going to be out for a buck and try to get money. The scandal is the fact that he denied having sex with the BBW and she had a witness and I was the judgy bitch. Scandals all around. But you know what? Women, we judge. Holler if you hear me, ladies. We judge. I was just talking to my friend Juji about how I've been so judgmental as a mom. I've become so judgmental with other moms. I didn't think I was going to be that mom because I'm like, whatever, let people live the way they want to live. But I have a cousin. Her name is Jahira. She lives in Washington Heights and she's very Washington Heights. Born and raised in Washington Heights. Hasn't really left Washington Heights. So she raises her kids very like urban, very, very New York City, very, that neighborhood, Washington Heights. And what do I mean by that? She's very like live and let live. I'm like a white suburban mom when it comes to raising Evan. So for me, it's super important to have Evan on a schedule. It's important for him to take a nap, two naps a day. He's transitioning from two naps to one nap. Like, he falls asleep at a certain time every day. My cousin Jahara is like, yeah, Amina does a nap. And I'm like, how is she not napping? Is she not miserable? No, she's not cranky. She's good. And my cousin's daughter is like 2 months younger than my son. Evan is going to be 15 months. And Mila is going to be a year old. So I'm like, but how does she not nap? She just doesn't nap. And she's very nonchalant about it. And if Evan wasn't napping, I was driving myself crazy. And then there's like the food stuff. So I'm like, yeah, I'm giving Evan vegetables so he can try different things because I wasn't raised eating a lot of vegetables, rice and beans and chicken. And there's like no green on the menu. I don't want Evan to grow up like that because I've struggled with eating healthy foods because I didn't know about it. And it's been hard to break the habit. But because of Evan, I'm trying to be better about eating vegetables. So she's like, yeah, well, Mina loves cheese puffs. So I give her cheese puffs. I give her white rice. It's just so funny because I was judging. And I am sorry for judging, but it's something that women do. I didn't think I was going to be that mom, but you don't know the type of mom, moms, if you're out there, you don't know the type of mom you're going to be until you're a mom. And I was insane when I first had Evan. I was insane. And what do I mean by insane? Literally, I was having a conniption if anything was off the clock or off schedule. When he went to his grandparents' house to stay over or to visit, and they weren't feeding him the way I was feeding him or the things that I was feeding him or the amount that I was feeding him, I would go insane. When I was breastfeeding, I actually used an app, a breastfeeding app that would time the number of minutes I was breastfeeding him on each breast. Like, insane! I was insane. And the reason why I was insane is because it was my way of having some type of control over my life again. Some type of routine. Because when you have a newborn, as many women know, when you have a newborn, they sleep when they want to sleep, they wake up when they want to wake up, and you just follow along. And it was so hard for me not to have a schedule, not to know when I was going to be able to do anything with my life. And by my life, I mean writing, creating, being on radio, just everything that I love. I was like, is my life over? Am I never going to be able to do something with structure ever again? It helped me feel better. The thing is that control really affects a relationship. And it was affecting my relationship with Dave because I was being so controlling over everything with Evan that he felt that I wasn't consulting him on anything when it came to Evan. I remember that Evan had he had the worst acid reflux. I had to take a pause because it was like the worst thing. He would projectile vomit all the time and it was so scary, especially as a new mom, especially when he was like 2 weeks old. It didn't matter whether I was breastfeeding, formula feeding, throw up all the time, constantly changing my clothes. Our couch is probably smells like puke still. And he's going to be a year and a half. So I decided to give him gripe water because my friend Juju was like, you should try it. It's recommended. A lot of doctors recommend it. It's natural. I use gripe water and this kid projectile vomited more than ever. And Zay was so mad because he was like, what's going on? Why is he throwing up so much? Oh my God, is something wrong with him? I was like, I gave him something called gripe water. He was like, what the hell is gripe water? Why didn't you consult with me? You're always making decisions about our baby without telling me anything. And the thing is, I was. Because I didn't grow up with a dad who really was there, who cared, who changed the diaper, who helped my mom whatsoever. Dave is the complete opposite of that. All the women in my family control everything having to do with the children and the household. So this is new to me. I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. And I never did it again. And we are a team ever since then. But definitely affected us because he felt like he wasn't heard. Half the time, I wasn't even asking him for his opinion. So, yeah, ladies, moms, judgy-wudgies, Usher lovers. Be aware and be cognizant of the control and how you're controlling the people in your life, situations in your life. And be cognizant of, honestly, just the patterns, why you're doing the things that you're doing. I was being that type of mom and leaving my fiance, the father of my child, really out of decisions because of what I saw growing up, because of my dad. And I became aware of it, so I was able to change the pattern. So how do you change patterns? Let's say the guy drives up in a Toyota Camry from 1996 and it's 2000 and what year is it? It's 2017 and you're like, mental note, he has a Toyota Camry from 1996. Oh, hell no. That's you in your head. He must be broke. He must be cheap. And you start making all these assumptions and you realize eventually, hopefully, when you become aware of this pattern, that this is something you do all the time, that you're always breaking down your dates. You're always trying to find something that you're not gonna like. Another, and it doesn't have to be superficial. Another thing that you can be looking at is just personality traits. Like, I watched the show Insecure on HBO. I actually just finished the season finale. It was amazing. It was 45 minutes. If you are not watching Insecure on HBO, please watch it. It is such a good show. It's about love and relationships and career and basically what it is to be an African-American woman and man in 2017 living in an urban city. It's based in Los Angeles, but it's not for African-Americans only. I'm Latina and I totally relate to what they're going through, even though it's based on now and the people on the show, these men and women, these black men and women, I think there's only like maybe one of the girls is like married to a Latino and he's like super Latino, which is really funny. But these men and women on the show are all like in their early 20s, late 20s. So they're all millennials. So it's like millennial dating, millennial relationships, millennial and careers, but from an African American perspective. But I can relate to it even though I'm not a millennial. I can relate to it even though I'm Latina, because honestly, it's stuff that we all go through. So like one of the characters, her name is Molly, she has this mental checklist and she's on the show and she's always dating guys and she's always finding something wrong. So she goes to the therapist. The therapist said, you know, I've seen a pattern of the way you talk about these relationships when you go on these dates. The way you talk about these relationships, whether it's a man that you're dating, a man that you're fucking, and she didn't say fucking because she's a therapist, but a man that you're involved with, whatever the case, you always kind of start sentences, even when it comes to your career, with should. I should be with someone right now. I should be with a guy who has a BMW. I should be with a guy that makes six figures. I should be with a man who's African American. I should be with a man who sparks my fire. And she said, maybe you should start living in the could. And I thought it was really interesting because when you say should, isn't it, in my mind, it was always, isn't it you like just really setting standards for yourself? This is what needs to happen. This is where my life should be. This is what I deserve. But the fact that she said that should was almost limiting because you're not giving yourself the opportunity to explore the possibilities beyond the shoulds was just, it just hit me. Like, I used to be that girl. I was that girl. And ladies and gentlemen who are listening to me, let me know if you are that girl or that guy right now. Hit me up on social media at Love Suhaiti. Talk to me. Find me on lovesuhaiti.com. Leave me a message on my Facebook, Love Suhaiti as well. And let me know, Snapchat, Love Suhaiti, Instagram. Let me know if you can relate to this. Let me know if you are going through this right now. And I went through this when I was single because before I met Dave, I had a mental checklist. I actually wrote a letter. And it's great to write a letter to your future spouse or whatever you want that person to be in your life, letting them know who they are and what qualities you love about them and what personality traits you love about them and how they treat you. That's an amazing way to manifest the love that you want in your life. But first, you need to know what type of love you want and the man or the woman that you want in your life. So I wrote this letter and I had the checklist, right? Just like in Insecure, I had that pattern of nitpicking and really breaking down the guys that I was dating. Any little thing that they did, I was like, I don't know about that. And my sister used to constantly tell me, you're too picky. And I would tell her, no, I'm not too picky. I'm selective. There is a difference between being picky and being selective, right? There is a difference. So I was at one point in my life super picky. So I'm writing this letter to Dave, and I don't know who Dave is at the time, but like a dear future husband. One of the things that I remember writing in the letter is, I can't wait for us to dance salsa together because you're going to be an amazing salsa dancer. And the thing is, sometimes we want something, and yeah, it's great to have a partner that loves to dance if you love to dance. And I like to dance, but I didn't think about it then. Like, I'm writing this letter in my like late 20s, and I didn't think about having kids, and I did think about having kids, that's not what I mean, but I didn't think about like how my life would be with children. Like, I have Evan now. I don't have time to go clubbing. I don't have time to dance all the time. I can't remember the last time I danced. The last time I danced was in December. People, we are in September. It's been almost a year. Two seasons have passed, spring and summer, since I went dancing in a club the last time, and I don't miss it whatsoever. I had a blast when I went. It was like my girls' night out. And I'm probably going to do that like once a year with my girls. So yeah, so I had this in my letter because I didn't really think about long term, like, what does this mean in a relationship? What does a guy who can dance mean in a marriage within a family unit? It was me being nitpicky. Like, right now, like, yes, Dave can dance. I manifested that. Dave actually loves salsa. And at one point in our relationship, in the beginning of our relationship, I hated the fact that he used to love to dance salsa because he always wanted to go salsa dancing. And he wanted to go salsa dancing and go out to Copacabana and these places. And what happens? That's like on a Saturday and weekends are for couples. And sure, I would go with him once in a while, but he loved it so much and he had this passion. He would take classes. That he had like a salsa crew and people he would go with. And I was like, be careful what you wish for. Be careful what you wish for. And again, I didn't think about the long term. So when you're thinking about your patterns, and let's say your pattern is being quote unquote too picky, and your pattern is that you are breaking down and nitpicking at these people that you're dating, right? Think about this. Is him having a Toyota Camry, is that something that has to, does he need that for long term? Does this mean anything about the future? Is it gonna matter what car he drives when you are 70 years old? Hopefully if you last that long, because I think a lot of people live in the should. This romantic idea of what a relationship's supposed to be, of what your partner is supposed to be, how it's, you know, like the whole salsa thing, please, please. It's great that he knows how to dance salsa. We could shake a tall feather at a wedding. But let's keep it real. We ain't using our salsa skills when we are raising our children. So it's very important for you to live in the could. And on the show, she, one of the last couple of episodes, she started hanging out with this guy, this coworker, who was like so not her type. So not to her type. And she was like, okay, I'm going to live in the could. And she had sex with him and the sex wasn't that great, which is different because the sex doesn't have to be amazing the first time. And I'm going to talk about that next, about sex and should it be amazing the first time. The sex doesn't have to be amazing the first time. So she decided, it seems like in the dead, I'm not going to spoil it. Just watch it and you'll see what she decided with this could guy versus the guy that she wanted to be with, the should guy. Let's talk about sex, baby. Let's talk about sex the first time and chemistry. A lot of the time, we imagine, women specifically, I think men, correct me if I'm wrong, men, if you're listening, at Love So Haiti on social media, let me know if you think I'm a liar. Men tend to usually fantasize about like the lust and like, yeah, it's going to be good because it's a vagina. I don't think a man sees a woman and is like, I don't know if she's going to be good. Again, correct me if I'm wrong. Women, though, women, we romanticize the first time for sex if it's someone that we care about. It's not just like, oh, bam, bang, he's going to have, oh, I hope he has a big penis. Sometimes women do talk about that. Oh, I hope he has a big penis. Oh, I hope he's thick. Oh, I hope he can last long. But there's also the fantasy. There's also the, wow, I really hope that it's romantic. Wow, I really hope that we connect. Oh my God, I can't wait to see if we have that passion and chemistry that we have when we do other things sexually and when we talk and when we go out and there's just this like energy, this kismet feeling. And then you go and you have sex with a dude and it is whack. And by whack, it could mean many things. It could mean that he came too soon. It could mean that you didn't have an orgasm, which a lot of women don't have an orgasm. But if you're someone that usually has an orgasm and then you don't have an orgasm the first time, you can be like, okay, maybe there's something up with this chemistry and this connection, sexual connection. It could be awkward. It could be that maybe the guy doesn't know how to work you because he doesn't know you. It could be that he doesn't know how to work his junk. Even if the junk is small, you can know how to work it to please a woman. Trust me, I have had small junks and I haven't pleased. So what happens the first time you have sex and it sucks? Do you stop dating the guy? Do you say sayonara, adios, mucho gusto, pero no gracias? You've been fucking around. You don't know if you want to take it further. The sex isn't that great. For whatever the reasons that I explained, you're just not sure if you can move forward with this relationship because of the sex. I say, if it's someone that you really enjoy in every other way, if it's someone who you have awesome conversations with, who intellectually you're of the same mind, politically you're of the same mind, that's really important nowadays. If it is someone who you can see taking home to your mama and your dada. I'm saying this because Evan is in my mind right now. I'm thinking about him as I'm in the studio. This is someone that you want to give it a try, like a real shot commitment. What do? The sex sucks. Do you dump him or no? Don't dump him. Try the following first. Have a conversation about the fact that it isn't the best. It's very awkward. me and Dave actually had to have this conversation because in the beginning, I wouldn't orgasm. And he was really upset about it. He was really upset because a lot of men are upset. He felt like he wasn't satisfying me. He didn't know what was going on. And I was like, no, this isn't a lost cause. There's things that we can do. Work and work it out. We just got to learn about each other's bodies. And we have to know what we like. You have to know what I like. You have to know what turns me on. You have to get to know my vagina. And I have to get to know your body parts and see what you like. And, you know, with men, it's a little bit simpler. But there is a way. You don't just throw in the towel. Because if it was about the sex not being that great, like, I would have thrown in the towel with Dave. Because when it came to penetration, it wasn't that great. But now it's awesome. Because he figured out what I liked, where my sweet spot was. So if you have the conversation, as awkward as it is, it can't be awkward. It was very awkward between me and Dave. It wasn't an easy conversation, even though I'm very open about talking about sex. Talking about sex and saying, I'm not really satisfied, this is maybe an issue, are we compatible, are we sexually compatible or not? That's a lot of pressure for a woman to have an orgasm. And women usually feel so. Men, if you're in this situation, don't put the pressure on the woman. Keep doing what you need to do to learn about her and her body. Talk to her, communicate with her, but don't make her feel bad. Because men, if you make a woman feel bad about her not orgasming, her not coming, it's just going to be in her head when she's having sex. She's just going to keep hoping that she comes and thinking about coming and thinking about feeling that orgasm, not for herself, but for the sake of you, not for her own pleasure and appeasing your mind and making you feel good and caressing your ego. And when that happens, the orgasm doesn't happen, right? So talk about it and have fun enjoying and learning about each other's bodies. And ladies, masturbate. You might be a woman that's never had an orgasm, or you might be a woman that only has an orgasm through clitoral stimulation. And we talked about this with Angie, the sexpert, last week, right? Last show. You can use sex toys. She has a vibrating oil. And you do different positions if you have a trouble orgasming. Find a position where your clitoris is being stimulated. So those are my two cents on the chemistry. Just don't give up if you really like the person. But you know, there comes a point where maybe you're going to have to give up. Don't give up immediately. And Godspeed. Have fun. Enjoy the sex. Enjoy exploring. Know yourself. Know your body. Know your quirks. Know what you love. Live in the could, not the should. And please, please, don't be Usher. All right, that's it for me. Your girl, Love Sue Haiti, here on Love Sue Haiti Talks, or Raw on Her World Red Podcast. Follow me on social media at Love Sue Haiti. And stay tuned for the next show.
Good afternoon. Would you like to try a free sample of our double fudge brownie?
Oh, sure. Mmm, that's very good. I'll just take one more, just to be sure. Yep, still very good.
Some things never change. Like never being able to take just one free sample. And Geico saving folks lots of money on their car insurance.
Mmm, is that macadamia nut I taste? Let me take one more.
Sir,
Yeah. I thought so.
15 minutes could save you 15% or more. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Is that Shakespeare?
Nope, it's Geico.
Yeah, that's Shakespeare from one of his unpublished works. Oh, it be not for awakening. Nay, giveth thou the berries. For 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.
Nope, it's from Geico, because they help save people money.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but Geico got it from Shakespeare.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more.